You're listening to Sound Effect on KPLU. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and today, as we skate into the holiday season, we're thinking about traditions. So we're going to turn our spotlight now onto a religious tradition, sort of. It does take place in a church, St. Mark's Episcopal Cathedral in Seattle, and it consists of a series of prayers. But even if the service is traditional, ancient even, the flock is pretty eclectic. Elders mixed with people who live on the street, families with small children, and young adults in a pretty obvious drug haze, they're all here to feel the thrum of the sacred music ringing through this soaring 90-foot-high cathedral. This tradition has been going on nearly every Sunday night for about 60 years.
I'm Jason Anderson, and I am the director of the Compline Choir at St. Mark's Cathedral in Seattle.
What does Compline Choir mean?
Compline Choir is actually named after the office that we chant. So Compline is the last prayer service that a monk or a nun would have prayed. And so the choir takes its name from the very office we chant.
What kind of people come to hear the Compline Choir?
Very diverse, from staunch believers to non-believers, to persons of other faith who are looking for some sort of spiritual yet not terribly religious experience. You'll also see folks who sit in the pew like good churchgoers would like to do, and folks who bring their blankets and pillows and want to just go and chill out in a corner and unplug from the world for 30 minutes and enjoy beautiful music in a beautiful space. Compline is sort of the gateway service for a lot of people. If you were to ask any number of folks who worship here on Sunday mornings, their first experience of St. Mark's, probably more than 85% of them would say through Compline. According to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared. How did you first get involved with it? That's a curious thing. Not to sing originally. I joined the group as part of my dissertation research into the life and music of Peter Hauck, who founded the group.
What is interesting about Peter's life and work that made him the subject of your doctoral thesis?
Well, there's a way that Peter intuits text through his music that makes the text stick in my brain. And what originally I wanted to do was just write a catalog of Peter's music, because no one had ever cataloged all of his works. I sent him an email at the time, and we had a 3-martini lunch together, and we concluded with him saying, I think this project might become a little bit larger than you're imagining right now.
What's an insight that you gained about him that gave you a little bit of sense of where that power comes from?
Strangely enough, he never considered himself a composer. For him, the music was already inherent in the text. He compared it to iconographer, who already sees a work and is copying it in exact form. And in his case, he had already heard the music through the text, and so it was already there, according to him, and he was just writing it out. But second to that, he always said that he never actually remembered the process of composing. And so he would see his handwriting on the page and recognize it as his own, but would not remember the process of composing it. I could try to pin him down on that. Well, what would you call that in terms of the creative process? He said, well, I just feel like I probably enter a sort of secondary consciousness. This mystical description of how he was working and functioning, and it was also how I kind of received his music.
Do you feel like you enter that secondary consciousness when you're listening?
As a listener, it's easier to kind of be transported, at least for a brief moment, to something other than this world, a glimpse of the divine.
Come. Anything that's been going on every week for half of a century must just become a thing that you experience with whatever you're experiencing along with your life. You're here on good weeks, and you're here on hard weeks, and you're here on weeks of joy, and here on weeks of sadness. And can you talk about some of the experiences being with Compline Choir, with whatever was going on in the world or in your life?
Right. So we've done some rather remarkable Compline services here. The most memorable for me, of course, was the day that Peter died. He died on a Sunday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, and I had to be here for rehearsal at 7:30, and that was really tough. But being together as a community, as a choir, and singing all of his music, all of the music in that service was by him, was just incredibly poignant.
What does it feel like when the singing is just what it's supposed to be?
So I very much consider what I do sort of a musical offering to the wider community, to the choir as an entity. And it's just for me, when everything comes together and goes off without a hitch and every note is just right, it's a moment of heaven on earth. And I don't know what heaven is anyway, but I know that I'm incredibly satisfied is an inadequate word. It just is something that just fills me up.
For it is the Lord only that makest us dwell,
Jason Anderson is director of the Compline Choir at St. Mark's Cathedral in Seattle. They perform every Sunday night at 9:30, and it's always free and open to the public.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Son, and the Holy Ghost, bless and preserve us.